You're listening to the Encounter Podcast, featuring my latest messages and teachings. Don't forget to subscribe. The Encounter Podcast, encounter the presence and power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you about finances. Now, I know this subject has been covered and has been abused in the past, but I want to assure you, we're going to take a biblical approach to this subject, but it's still important that you learn about the provision of God in the midst of famine. So people ask me, do you believe the prosperity gospel? I can assure you, I certainly don't believe the poverty gospel. But all joking aside, people do want to know, what do you think about the prosperity gospel? Prosperity gospel, and there's all this talk of the prosperity gospel. Now, everybody defines the subject differently, or I should say the term differently. To one person, prosperity gospel might mean one thing, and to another, prosperity gospel might mean another. So let me be very clear. I do not believe that we serve God for what we can get out of Him. I do not believe that the Bible promises that every believer will be rich. I do not believe that money is a sign of God's love and favor. I do not believe that you can give money in exchange for a miracle or for a healing. I don't believe those things. To me, that is the prosperity gospel. But if by the prosperity gospel you think that it means maybe that God prospers the believer in times of difficulty, yes, I believe that. But again, I must stress this. Not every believer is going to be a millionaire. Not every believer is going to be a wealthy business person. We have brothers and sisters all over the world who are under the threat of persecution. Their worry isn't, what kind of car am I going to drive or what kind of clothes I'm going to wear? Their worries are about life and death. Their worries about where they're going to gather for church. So I want to approach this subject with integrity, and I want to approach this subject with biblical truth. But I do want to encourage those of you who experience or are experiencing economic difficulty or economic uncertainty. And I want to show you what the Bible teaches concerning this subject. So let's go now to 1 Kings chapter 17. And I want to read verse number 8. I'm going to begin reading at verse number 8. Here we go. Then the Lord said to Elijah, go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow there to feed you. Now that right there is interesting. Notice that God tells the prophet Elijah, I have instructed a widow there to feed you. So keep that in mind as we continue to read. So he went to Zarephath, and as he arrived at the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks, and he asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? As she was going to get it, he called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God that I don't have a single piece of bread in the house, and I have only a handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. Now, this was interesting to me because remember, God told the prophet, I instructed a widow there. Yet when he gets there, she acts like she never heard the command of God. This is what people do in difficult times. When they face difficult scenarios economically or financially, and God gives them a command, the first human response is to pretend like they didn't hear it, or to really be dismissive of it, or to try to make an excuse to get out of that command. So she tells the prophet, look, I don't have anything. I can't give you this because my son and I were planning on eating this, and then we were just going to die after we ate this. And she gave her excuse, but then the prophet says, don't be afraid. Verse 13, go ahead and do just what you've said, but make a little bread for me first. Then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left in your containers until the time when the Lord sends rain and crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her family continued to eat for many days. Think about this. She gave her excuse, yet the prophet still confronted her with a challenge to her faith. God had spoken to her. We know that because in verses above, God says, I've already instructed her. Yet even though she was instructed by God, she tried to put her excuses out. Now imagine if a preacher were to do that today to some old woman who was in some financial hardship. Everyone would criticize him. But the prophet Elijah heard from the Lord, and he knew that encouraging her to give, even with her lack, that he was positioning her to walk in the provision of God. Now let me make something clear. Every curse has been broken by the blood of Jesus. Whether or not you give financially to a ministry, God is going to take care of you if you're a believer. Whether or not you give financially, healing is still promised to you. I often tell people who come to our healing meetings, especially when taking the offering, I'll say, now let me be very clear with you. This gift that you're sowing is in no way tied to your miracle. And I really resent when preachers try to make it seem like it is, because the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't teach that God won't heal you if you don't give. The Bible doesn't teach in the New Testament that you're cursed if you withhold a certain amount from a ministry or a church. But look at what the Bible does say. In verse 16, there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. Now, the Lord already declared through his prophet. Look at this. This is so key. I think very few preachers actually catch this. I want you to notice in verse 12 that she says, I don't have anything. Me and my son are going to die. And then the prophet Elijah in verse 13 instructs her. And then in verse 14, he tells her that she will always have enough. Now you notice he gave her that promise before she even gave. Really think about this. The prophet Elijah declared the word of the Lord over her that she would always have enough. So she wasn't giving in order to activate some supernatural flow. She wasn't giving to get that going again. She was giving because she believed and she knew that God was going to take care of her already. So when we give as New Testament believers, we're not giving to avoid some curse that God is sending down upon us. We're giving because it's a demonstration that we believe that God is going to take care of us. So when it comes to prosperity, the biblical definition of prosperity is that God meets your needs and then gives you enough left over to help others near to you. Never does the Bible promise that every believer will live a lavish lifestyle. Never does the Bible promise that every believer will be a millionaire. Never does the Bible promise that all believers will avoid all trials. No, what the Bible does promise is that God will meet your need and God will give you enough to be a blessing to those around you. So why do we give? Do we give to get? No. We get because what Jesus did for us is complete. And that love, that provision is already flowing. God provides for us even if we don't give. Have you noticed that even non-givers have meals? Have you noticed that even non-givers have a place to live? God isn't going to curse you, but you are missing out on the blessing of giving. What is the blessing of giving? The blessing of giving is the joy of participating in the kingdom of God. The blessing of giving is knowing that you're obeying the voice of God, because it is disobedient to withhold, but there's no curse that comes on you if you do. But if you live consistently in that lifestyle, then it's that lifestyle that leads to lack. It's that mentality that leads to lack. It's that selfishness, that hoarding, that clinging to material goods that leads to lack. Again, I must stress to you, it is the mindset of the non-giver that leads to lack, not God cursing them from heaven. So I'm encouraging you as a believer, during difficult times, it's easy to say, oh, well, you know, you wring your hands, you say, oh my goodness, things are getting scary, things are becoming uncertain, and then you start calling all the ministries. You call your pastor, you say, Pastor, I can't give this month. Or you call a minister and say, you know what, I have to stop my giving because things are tough. Do you realize that when things are tough, the last thing you should stop giving to is the gospel? God is going to take care of you. Believe it. God is going to provide for you. Believe it. It's happened. It's already done in the heavenly realm. God has promised to provide. Now, if you believe that promise, you give. So again, getting back to why we give, we don't give to get. We don't give to receive a miracle. We don't give because we're trying to hoard more gain upon ourselves. No, we give because we love the Lord. We give because we trust the Lord. We give because we want to obey the Lord. We give to be a blessing to others. So I challenge you, in the midst of economic hardship, in the midst of financial difficulty, don't stop supporting the gospel. You may think that you have an excuse. You may think that it's reasonable. You may think that God's looking down and saying, you know what, you are in a tough situation. You really should be wise. Often, let me tell you something, this is the truth. I know it's going to offend some, but you need to hear this. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to tell you the truth because I love you. Often, we use the word wisdom to describe what is actually a lack of faith. I'll say that again. We use the word wisdom to describe what is actually a lack of faith. So again, I say to you, we don't give to get. We give because we trust that God has provided. We give because we want to be obedient to His voice. We give because we love Him. We give because we know that our future is secure. The world economy could collapse tomorrow, but not the kingdom economy. The kingdom economy is sustained by God, and God is reliable. Never do you have to worry, because God will provide for you. God will give you provision in the midst of the famine. Going on to read in verse 16 again, there was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised to Elijah. That's the promise of God, enough. He'll give you enough to take care of you, your family, and He'll give you enough to be a blessing to others. So step out in faith. Hold strong. Don't give in to fear. Don't believe your own excuses. Instead, obey the Holy Spirit and trust and know that God has secured your future. Your tomorrow is for sure because God is in control.
Thank you for listening to the Encounter Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe. You can help keep the Encounter Podcast on the air by becoming a monthly supporter or making a one-time donation now. To give, just go to davidhernandezministries.com/donate. Until next time, remember, nothing is impossible with God.